He punts it away. Low line drive punt. Rashad comes up and fields it on the run in the 32. Out past the 40-yard line. Into Titans territory. Still on his feet. Inside the 40-yard line. Inside the 30. Up the right sideline. Rashad Greene knocked out of bounds. Inside the 10-yard line. Boy, is it great to have Rashad Greene back. A tremendous return. It's first and goal, Jacksonville. Straight drop. Looking. Fires. Touchdown, Jacksonville! Julius Thomas caught it in the end zone. Bortles to Thomas, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
Those fans were wired up today. It was just an amazing feeling to hear everybody just yelling Duval and go Jags. And just to be back home, we haven't been home, like you said, in a while. And we got some incredible fans that have stuck through, you know, with us thick and thin. Just feels good to give them something to be proud of.
Tennessee has the ball on the 23-yard line of Jacksonville. The Jags have lined up all but four players along the goal line. They've lined up seven players between the five and the goal line. Straight drop, four-man rush. Mariota scrambles out of there. He's hit from behind. He's hit from behind. He is hit from behind. Andre Branch sacks him, and the Jaguars have won it. Andre Branch with a sack. And Jacksonville has won two in a row and three of their last four.
I mean, most important, that win, but to have it at home in front of our fans and the way they support us, we needed them that last drive and how loud they were. And you know, I don't know what to say. It's just a great win.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
All right, David Garrard, Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Fridays brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Guys, happy memories. Those are happy memories, right?
Very happy ones.
It's good to be the excitement in Frank's voice. The Jags have won three out of four. Can we get a few of those streaks going this year? How about a five out of six at some point this year? As Tyler said, that was in tribute to the Jags' now annual primetime opponent, the Tennessee Titans.
Apparently.
Albeit on the road this time, Tony. So no Thursday night home game for the Jags. That's a little disappointing, certainly, because the atmosphere is always so good at those primetime games.
No doubt about it, and I know one of the big topics of conversation today is obviously going to be the Jaguars schedule, and we're asking for people to predict a record, a best case and worst case scenario for the fan feedback question of the day today. But I think when I saw the schedule last night for the first time, you knew it was going to be a really weird one this year. Not only are you playing a divisional opponent in London, so you're losing a home division game to go over to London. You knew you got Notre Dame Navy coming in this year too. You got Florida, Georgia still. Jacksonville is a football destination city. And because of that, every year the Jaguars' schedule is always a little bit funky, especially compared to other teams around the league, it feels like. I was hoping they would do them the favor of putting Green Bay somewhere in the middle of the schedule. Maybe beginning of November,
you
something like that.
You don't need them to lead off the season.
Right. You know they're going to fill up this stadium on week one of the NFL season, and depending on how good they are from that point going forward, they could potentially fill that place up for every home game, but you wanted Green Bay November 7th. You didn't want Green Bay week one. So between getting Green Bay week one, your only primetime games on the road, you're losing a divisional home game to London on top of all that. It's a weird looking schedule. You knew it was probably not going to favor the eye when you finally saw the thing, and that's exactly what it turned out to be.
I don't know. I love the fact that we start off with Green Bay. I think that there's going to be excitement, like you said already, because it's the first game. But it's the first game against the Packers, so that's just that much more. And if we,
a little litmus test.
Yeah, if we come out and win that, I mean, that would just blow the roof off of everything. But if we compete with them on a level where it's back and forth and, you know, somehow the best quarterback in the league inks out a win, I mean, that just, you talk about momentum carrying off into the season, and I think we have a great chance now. I hate the fact that we go to the Chargers after that because just of the whole West Coast thing, not really their team. I mean, the team itself, they're okay. Phillip Rivers is the only reason why it scares me, but that whole traveling thing, I think the Ravens, the Colts, the Bears, I mean, that right there looks very favorable to the,
well,
to the Jags.
Well, we will go, you know, game by game, quarter by quarter, and talk about it a little bit. I'm more with Tony here in terms of the excitement factor. Doesn't matter who the opener is. And I understand what you're saying, Dave. If you can perform well and get a win and springboard your season, there's no question. And Jordy Nelson coming back off a torn ACL. You're going to get him probably at his least effective of the season, provided he stays healthy the rest of the way. So there are some mitigating factors in there. The thing I don't like, coming out of the bye week, which is early, which we know is early, you've got 5 of the next 7 on the road, including a stretch where you're 4 out of 5 on the road. Dave, how difficult is that for an NFL team in a 5-week stretch to be away from home 4 of those weeks?
You know, I don't know what – I guess it's the London thing, but it has just – thrown the whole schedule for the last few years, just it's just made it awful for home games for Jags fans, because sometimes we go a month without seeing the Jags, and here, you know, we'll get like sprinkling of them throughout, you know, a 2-month period. But I mean, that's just awful, having to travel that many times, having to never be settled at home for 2 games at all, you know. It's tough. It's tough on the team, especially when you have a bye week super early in the season and you play in London early in the season. It's not a good look. The guys are not going to like it. But you know, you got to do whatever it takes to go out there and win ball games.
You see what the Colts are doing this year, what the NFL is doing with the Colts coming out of the London game. They do not have a bye. They're the first team to play in London and not have a bye the following
week. Apparently, they asked the league to not put the bye that week.
Right, because they didn't want it that early, I'm presuming, right?
Guys don't like a bye week way early. There's a lot of games you got to play with no rest.
Right. I would wonder if the Jags reach that point where, hey, are we getting acclimated to making this trip now? Maybe we can make that turnaround. They know how tough it is on their body and how not tough. You know, they know better than any team should how to adjust to this particular trip. But it's a bit of a litmus test. Look, we're always going to root for the Colts to suffer. I really want them to suffer. There's an article. What is Ashley Fox of ESPN wrote yesterday about the NFL in London? And ultimately, how does it conclude? Well, the most likely team to be there is the Jacksonville Jaguars on a permanent basis. And the NFL is really eager to try to put a team in London in the next 5 years. And I'm like, that just doesn't jive with the reality that I see every single day. So I want the Colts to suffer a miserable travel hangover in week 5. And let's put to rest this notion that it's going to be so easy to just turn around and play football. Because ultimately, Dave, if they do put a franchise in London, they're not going to be able to accommodate every team by giving them a bye week immediately following that trip.
Exactly. It's just, I love the idea of the London thing, but it's just going to be way too tough travel-wise for teams to go there, play, come back home, play another game. It's just going to be terrible.
How do you like to pay 45% of your taxes to the England?
That's another thing.
I mean, honestly, they say, I read this yesterday in that story, and I assume, you know, that the facts are accurate. I haven't looked them up myself, that basically an NFL player that week when you play in London, you lose, depending on what state you're from, you can lose up to 60% of your paycheck in
taxes. That
week, between, because you're still paying them,
because
you've got your residence here, you're paying them in your state. If you've got state income tax, federal income tax, you've got the international taxes that you're paying, so it's a little bit daunting. We're not going to focus on that today. We are going to focus on the schedule, get Dave's opinion on the blockbuster draft pick trade deal that went down yesterday, all the latest trials and travails of one Johnny Football, all that coming up and more. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, brings you the show every Friday with David Garrard, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, glad you're along. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, repeating the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. We want your best and worst case, what you consider realistic best and worst case scenarios for the Jaguars' record this season. I'm sure we'll get at least 1-0-16 and at least 1-16-0, Tony. And then we may get them from the same person, and so be it.
Those are literally the best and worst case scenarios.
Those are they realistic best and worst case scenarios?
No.
I don't think they are. I don't think the Jags will go winless. I think if they didn't go winless the first year of the Gus Bradley regime, when they had arguably the worst first half in NFL history of any team, and then what, they went 4 out of 5 after that, then no, they're not going winless this year. They have way too much talent for that.
It's built.
Well, let's hope, right?
Scary comment. Still scares me that he said.
It's built. I mean, it is built. Whether it's built completely, like your house is built. Is it done built? Well, is it ever done, really?
Yeah, like, I don't know if Gus listens to this show every day, like, sitting in his office.
Oh, you know he does. Hi, Gus.
Every time we play that cut, I would cringe. If I forgot, I would be, oh, man.
It's built.
Oh.
Did I say that? Jaguars. And 16-0, they're not doing that either. I'm thinking.
No.
You can't go 16-0 if you can't beat the Chargers in week two. Sorry. I'm firmly convinced. I won't. How about won't?
Okay.
They could beat any team individually on their schedule. They could be a playoff team this year, Dave. I think they could win double digit games, right? And teams do it every year. They surprise us, take leaps. And how different would our perception be if the Jags had made a field goal, if Jason Myers had made a field goal against Indy, and then, say, maybe the Tampa game, they had bothered to stop the run at all?
Tennessee.
You could have lost the Baltimore game, so I won't give them all the close calls. Let's say they picked up two more wins among those close calls. And they're 7-9 with a budding offense, a record-setting offense, solid additions on defense. Just that perception, just a handful of plays. Don't you think that would increase the average projection for this team by a couple of games?
Absolutely. Anytime you win, it changes the game. You know, winning is what matters. And so for them to lose those games in those fashions the way they did, if you just, like I said, if the ball goes inside the uprights, just right there.
Just a smidge.
Then, yeah, it makes you feel like, okay, this team has finally turned the corner. They finally have found it. They've got it now. This season is going to be playoffs or bust because they've already, you know, come so close. But, you know, you lose the way you did down the stretch there, especially in the last game.
Right.
I mean, so now you have those tastes in your mouth instead of, you know, they're making that next step. It's like, maybe they can get to 500. We hope.
Right. And you're right about that, too. A lot of it determines when the wins come and how did you end the season. And you ended on a down note. Now, Tony, I was talking to somebody out in Houston a couple weeks ago, and they were remarking after Brian Hoyer played that playoff game, there was no way he could return to play quarterback for the Houston Texans, despite the fact that he had a pretty solid year. When you look at his year, he was pretty efficient touchdown to interception ratio, right? Mm-hmm. And then just absolutely was a turnover machine in the playoffs. And it got me thinking, I mean, the last impression we have of Luke Jokel, isn't that the same? Isn't that the equivalent of a quarterback throwing four picks?
That's why you had somebody named Beecham here.
Well, that's kind of what I'm leaning towards here.
It's not the quarterback position, though. So it's almost like you can let it slide, especially. And you're talking about a Houston franchise that has been trying to find somebody to play quarterback now forever. It feels like basically since Schaub fell off a cliff a couple years ago in his career. And look, for the Jaguars, looking back at last year, the Indianapolis game is number one on my list of the ones that bug me. Number two is Tennessee. And I don't know that any of the other games come close to me as far as the ones that they lost, how much they bother me that they lost those football games. You can't score the way the Jacksonville Jaguars did in that football game and lose to Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. You can't lose that football game. And if you win both those games, you're talking about having swept Indianapolis, swept Tennessee. You're 4-2 in the division. You humiliated the Indianapolis Colts the last time that you played them, especially in the second half of that football game. That's something that you can say the fans will feel good about that. That's momentum going into an offseason as opposed to the way they feel now, which is a lot of the fans out there saying, we don't want Gus Bradley back. We have questions about the direction of this front office. It doesn't matter what they've done in free agency. Now the schedule's out, and we'll take a look at it here over the course of the show. How do you really feel about what this football team can actually accomplish in the 2016 season compared to what it feels like they may need to for everyone to keep their job?
Someone on the text line right now said, which, by the way, is driven by Duval Ford, how about the last impression of Carson Palmer? Granted, Carson Palmer bombed in the postseason as well. However, Carson Palmer, I think, has built up a better overall body of work than Brian Hoyer has, and they feel like they're more on the brink, I think, than Houston is. Houston needed to fix the QB position. I don't think Arizona feels like they need to fix the QB position. But granted, and look, by the way, I'm not saying I could never have Brian Hoyer take another snap in the NFL. This is a guy reporting in Houston about the feeling in that city that if they brought him back, it would be, you know, the torches and pitchforks time on Reliant Stadium. Let's get a call or two in here at 641-1010. You can also get on the text line at that number as well. Predictions, high-end, low-end, realistic, best and worst-case scenarios as you see them. Let's go to Frank at the Beaches to lead us off on Jaguars today. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, sir.
What's up?
I like the Jaguars. My prediction is for them to go 8-8 this year, 10-win season in 2017, and I'm really praying that Miles Jack is around and that's who we get.
That's your guy, is Miles Jack. What is the worst case scenario for you, Frank? I don't know if you're a Gus Bradley supporter, Dave Caldwell believer. What is the minimum record you need to see for you to feel like this organization is continuing to head in the right direction?
Well, the defense definitely has to improve, but I mean, just my opinion, I think he needs to get 8 wins to stay. This is the 4th year. I mean, you know, that's just my opinion. I think he needs at least 8 wins and then a 9 or 10 win season in the playoffs in 2017.
All right. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. And, you know, none of us can speak for Dave Caldwell. We don't know. My guess is there are a lot of 7-9 scenarios that Gus Bradley is back in Jacksonville next year. You know?
You know, I like his analysis there. I think the same way. I think they have to be at least 500. I think if they're still under 500 this long in the process, I mean, you then the next year they're not going to jump to, you know, 10-12 wins. I think it's still, if they get to 8, now there is a chance to win just 2 more games, and now you really have a chance to really be in the playoffs. And the excitement around the city, around the organization will be there. But I think if you have another losing record, I just don't see how that gets anybody excited. Because you don't, that means you didn't even really have a chance to get into the playoffs.
We'll go game for game a little bit later on, because it is mandated by the U.S. Constitution that we do that on the day after the draft or the schedule comes out. But how important in terms of perception is that Green Bay game, though? You win against the Packers. I don't care if Jordy Nelson is in traction, okay? Doesn't, I don't care if Aaron Rodgers takes the week off. You beat the Pack to kick off the season. All of a sudden, first of all, nationally, whoa,
yes,
what just happened, right? Or actually, it's going to be a race to say, I saw it coming, right? and some people have already, who was it that predicted? Was it Michael Silver? Somebody predicted already that the Jags are going to win that opener against Green Bay. I don't think that's going to be a popular prediction. But imagine for the people that are on the fence in this market,
yeah,
home game.
Just the fact that somebody actually gave us a win over them is already a step in the right direction.
Step in the right direction, right? But imagine, though, if they were able to win that game. And so let's say they win it convincingly, too. Not one of the finishes like they had against the Ravens. A solid 10-point home victory to kick it off. All of a sudden, oh, we're all ripping up the predictions, and the sky's the limit now. Add 2 or 3 to the pile. Let's go to Steve in Pontevedra next up. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Guys, how you doing?
Great. What's up, buddy?
I got a question for David, since he played the quarterback position. Do you think we should go after Tunsil because he's the premier offensive tackle? I mean, I think those two positions, quarterback and left tackle, are the most important positions to fill. I think if you can fill those two positions, well, we have Bortles. The defense will play better. I think everyone will play better on defense. So I think wasting our pick on a defensive player would definitely be a waste of time.
Okay, so honestly, in my opinion, I think bringing in a rookie tackle would just, I don't know if it would set it back, but they're not proven. You know, where, yeah, Joko has had his mistakes. He's not played all that great. I think Beecham, if he can get back healthy, would probably be a better answer there. I don't know if I would, as Gus Bradley, stake my chances on my season with a rookie left tackle. Now, if he comes in and he can play like a premier Pro Bowl left tackle right away, that's asking a lot for a rookie. That's usually how rookies are. They're just usually not great right away. I don't know how many times there's been, you know, an offensive lineman that has come out as player of the year or even in the, you know, been talked about like that. But you have a rookie, Miles Jack or whatever, they can add instant impact right now because the defense is, it's totally different for a defensive player. It's pin your ears back a lot of times, go get the quarterback, stop the run, you know, drop in the coverage. It's not
less
as,
things that you have to focus
yes,
on.
Yeah, exactly. So they can just react a whole lot more, where on offense, man, you've got to get the system down. So, you know, can he learn the system fast enough? Can he get all the checks fast enough? And then can he stop these premier defensive ends in his first season on a team that needs this year for their coach to stick around? I mean, that's a lot to put on a guy at that premier position when you have a, you know, a Joko, and I understand a lot of people don't want to hear that, and you have a Beecham. I just think it's asking a lot on a guy like that. Can he possibly come in and do it and provide that instant anchor over there? He could, but the chances are real slim for that to happen. maybe he gets it later on in the season, but now the season's kind of, you know, it's not really there for the team. So now your coach is gone and now everything changes anyway. But I think the defense, if you look at last year, they struggled mightily on defense. They need some more pieces. So I would not do it for me. I mean, unless you can guarantee me this guy is going to come in
and
be
better
and just be better than Joko and better than Beecham.
Well, you got to, don't you, at some point you have to trust your scouting, though. And I'm not saying you have to draft Tunsil, but I've got to, if I'm the GM or the scouting department of the Jaguars, I've got to be able to look at Tunsil and say, I believe he's going to be better than these guys. Or I don't believe, but I can't, I'm not going to sit there and go, well, you know, he could be good, he could be bad. You know,
that, well, their but job do you is, think that need is that much more than providing somebody else on defense?
Well, here's the thing, what we've got right now. I don't think necessarily, but right now, I don't think Joko is the answer. I don't think he's proven to be. Okay?
No.
I'm not saying his career is over or anything like that, but he hasn't lived up to his draft status. We're talking about Beecham coming off a torn ACL here.
Yeah.
We don't know. When is he going to be ready? How effective is he going to be? Is he going to need a half season to get up to speed? If you think Laremy Tunsil is the best player in the draft, here's a spinoff. We got this on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, and it kind of coincides with the question that we just got. It said, hey, guys, do you think if Ramsey, Bosa, and Miles Jack are all gone at number five, no matter if you think it's unrealistic or not, let's say a quarterback goes at one, and then Cleveland, no one trades up, they opt to wait on their quarterback, and they go defense, and it's defense, defense, defense. Who do you take? They asked, do you think the Jags would or should take Noah Spence at that point? No, I don't. In that scenario, I think you, honestly, I don't know, unless you get a trade offer, and you might, with Tunsil still being available, I don't know if he's the consensus best player on the board, how you reach for a guy like that. I don't think that, first of all, A, I don't think they would take Noah Spence that high, and I don't have a good enough personal feeling about Noah Spence to say they should take him at that spot. I would probably take Tunsil in that scenario.
Absolutely. If that scenario comes about, I would absolutely take Tunsil.
But that's about the only scenario where you'd see Tunsil even being there, unless it went quarterback, quarterback, and then defensive player, and then you'd have a choice maybe between Tunsil, Tony, or Joey Bosa, or maybe, and it depends on how you like those guys, right? It's going to depend. We all assume we like Miles Jack. We don't know. Maybe the Jags are skeptical about that knee. We just don't know, you know, and what is their comfort level with him, and how safe of a pick is he, and if the knee's not ready yet, when is it going to be ready? Is he going to make an impact in the first half of the season? I don't know if you are ever going to know for sure these answers. That's why there's risk in these draft picks.
Yep.
But who would have thought Tunsil would even realistically be in the conversation as any kind of even a 5 or 10% chance at this point?
Sure, and I think Tunsil actually gives that pick the Jags have at 5 as much leverage as they could hope to have, honestly, for a trade with the scenarios that we've been talking about for the last couple weeks, because I do think Baltimore is certainly in real play for a left tackle, potentially, especially if it's going to be Tunsil. So if there is a team that's in the teens that is looking at it and saying Tunsil is the best player in this draft, he slipped down to 5, we think Baltimore is going to make the move at 6 to go get this guy. If we want him, it's now in range for us to make the move to go get him. So I think something like that could be in play if Tunsil does wind up being available to him. The other thing is, again, we don't really know how the Jaguars feel about all these prospects. So maybe, like you said, they don't like Jack as much as we do. Maybe they love Shaq Lawson, right? Shaq Lawson's
maybe
a guy who's being talked about as a top 10 pick right now.
Sure.
Maybe they love that guy, and we've been sitting here the whole time talking about all these other guys, and they like Lawson more than Bosa anyway. So if it got down to that scenario and they couldn't get out of the 5th pick, where they maybe feel like they could get Shaq Lawson at 7 or 8, you know, behind Baltimore, but they couldn't get down to that kind of range and still get the guy that they like in this draft, maybe they just pulled the trigger on Lawson there. We don't know. I am with the fans out there that are saying it is really hard for me to look at it, whatever scenario it happens to be, for the Jaguars to not get a body on defense in the first round of this draft is really difficult for me. But I think there are scenarios where maybe the player that would be available to them on defense simply isn't worth the number 5 pick. And if they get stuck in that kind of situation and they take Laremy Tunsil, who may be the best player in this draft, I'm okay with it, but I still would be really wary of a team that needs as much help as this one does on defense to not even look at it in the first round.
And granted, they need help on defense, but they have added some help on the defensive side of the football, right? And let's hope they get a full season out of Cedric Marks and a full healthy season out of Dante Fowler Jr. So those are additions, in a sense, and you add Malik Jackson. and Tashawn Gibson, a couple of starters, along with Prince Amukamara, who's going to, whether he starts every game, he's going to play a ton. That's some significant additions. Now, I'm not saying it's solved all the problems on that side, but it's not like they've sat idly by and hope that the defense from last year does mysteriously get better. We'll get back to the phones in a moment at 641-1010. Tyler, what do we have? A voucher for a pair of tickets to any Suns game?
Any Suns game.
Any
all
Suns
year.
Home game. All right. How do we get that? How about call 641-1010 and be the fourth caller right now?
Let's do it.
And we'll hook you up with a pair of tickets or a voucher, good, even better than a pair, a voucher for a pair of tickets to any Suns home game this year. If you're on the line, stay right there. We'll get you more draft talk, more Jaguar schedule talk coming up. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
We're probably not finished doing business. We'll take each situation, you know, kind of as its own, as it presents itself. Some of that stuff will really kind of come on draft day when teams are on the clock. If their player that they, you know, they really covet isn't there, and a guy we want is, if we can maybe strike some type of deal, either to move up or move back. You know, just again, it gives us options. It gets us out of the corner for that one pick and kind of in the middle of the room to do a lot of things.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
They're not only in the middle of the room, they're in the middle of the whole house, all the rooms. Tennessee's got a pick occupied in pretty much every room in the residence right now. That was John Robinson, the Titans. Hated general manager, hated in these parts anyway. Everything Titans is hated in these parts, Dave. But they make that move, and we'll get back. We'll get to that in a moment in terms of your reaction to that pick. We've got some interesting texts that apply to that, what the Jags may do later in the draft, which coincides with something Tony saw this morning about what Tennessee may try to do in the second round. So we'll get to that in a second. Let's get to the phones right now. Mike in South Carolina has been hanging on. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey guys, good afternoon.
What's up?
Hey, you know, I'm hoping for 9-7. 9-7 is what I'm hoping goes on, and I think they're going to be the team this year that wins games that they probably shouldn't, and loses games that, you know, they probably should. I kind of like having the Indianapolis game in London. I think it puts Indianapolis at a disadvantage. So I know we're losing a divisional game, but I still think it's beneficial. And then I got a question. My question would be, how would you feel about if, whether it was Ramsey or Jack, which I like both of those guys at 5, how would you feel about if they maybe gave up some future premium picks to move back into the first for, say, Noah Spence? I know that they use that Senior Bowl as a, you know, it's been a good little farm system for them to really get to know those guys. He seems to be a guy that's flipping down. Do you think that would be a value? Would you feel good about if they gave up some picks to move back into the bottom half of the first round?
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Mike. Weigh in on that. Depends on what we're talking about here. And every projection right now, mock drafts are not necessarily worth the digital paper that they're printed on, but the Bills at 19, the Jets at 20. Now, the Jets priorities may change. They may go left tackle now that, you know, DeBrickashaw Ferguson retired. They've got Ryan Clady on a kind of a two-year deal there, but he's battled injuries. So a lot of people think they may shift their focus to offensive tackle at 20, but Noah Spence could be off the board by the late teens, early 20s. You know, if he's hanging around at 29, 30, you know, it depends on the price. When you say future premium picks, I don't like the idea of giving up my second rounder this year and next year to go get Noah Spence. To me, that's too rich for my blood. I suspect the Jags would not pay extra premium picks for Noah Spence. I think if Noah Spence falls to them in the second round, Tony,
maybe,
absolutely under consideration. But I don't. My personal feeling is I don't see them spending that much draft capital to go up and get that guy.
I'm not sure exactly how they feel inside the build. Just the character concern stuff, like, they drafted Telvin Smith, but I think it felt like they felt pretty good about Telvin Smith coming out of the Senior Bowl week.
And that was a fifth rounder.
It was. I'm not sure if they feel as good about Noah Spence coming out of a week spent with him at the Senior Bowl, having seen him at the Combine, had him in for a visit. I don't get the sense that they feel the same way about Noah Spence just as far as the off-field stuff is handled the same way they did with Telvin Smith.
Put it this way. If they could get Noah Spence in the third round, I guarantee you they'd take Noah Spence
third round,
in the third
round. I don't
round,
think they'd right? have to think about it very hard. So, I think top of the second round, they would I think they would still take somebody else over Noah Spence, even at their pick. I don't see them moving back into the first round at all to go get that particular guy.
Part of it would depend. Like, let's say they got Joey Bosa with the fifth pick, and they feel like they've addressed the pass rush, then you're probably not trading up for any edge rusher at that scenario, Dave. Not that they wouldn't take more than one in the draft. I just don't think they'd mortgage future draft picks to get that done. Here was an interesting one I was alluding to a moment ago. Mike, thank you for the call, and we appreciate you listening up there in South Carolina. Love to spread the message far and wide of the teal and black. What if we get, this one on the text line driven by Duval Ford, what if we get Miles Jack at number 5? Would it be a smart idea to take Jalen Smith, the Notre Dame linebacker, in the third or fourth round? Imagine the linebacking core when those guys are in there. Third or fourth round? Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, now again, I want to take Noah Spence and Jalen Smith in the third round. Can you make that happen for me, Tony? Can you make that happen? What was the item you saw in regards
to
Tennessee this morning?
Paul Kaharsky, who covers the Tennessee Titans for ESPN, the Sports Nation, put an article up last night. Basically, the Titans have all those picks at the top end of the second round. We were talking off air yesterday about how fun it would be to be on Tennessee radio that Friday morning. Not only had you picked on at 15 if they don't do anything else with those picks, but you're looking at having all those picks in the first hour and a half. Basically, that
three
second
more
night
coming
of the
up
draft.
In the first 16
and
so.
You have
Stand
a couple
by.
More in the third round. Like, it was just
awesome.
You got 5 picks coming up on that Friday night. It'd be so much fun to be able to talk about all that. But what it does is it gives them flexibility to take more chances with one or more of those picks. So he was speculating that because they have the 3 picks now in the top of that second round, assuming they don't do any more moving around again, but it gives them the flexibility that if they want to be the team that takes a chance on Jalen Smith, they have more opportunity to do that now than any other team in the draft, basically. For the Jaguars, if they want to go after Jalen Smith in the second round, they get to throw one dart, and it better hit. Like, you need your second-round picks to be impact players, and if Jalen Smith gets back to full health, then, yeah, he looks like he's a guy who could be a big impact player. But if he doesn't, then you blew your second-round pick. And I'm not sure this regime is in a position where they can afford to do that. For Tennessee, it would be one of their 3. And they'd still have those 2 others to go get guys they feel like are solid. They don't have to worry about it. They can almost redshirt Jalen Smith for a year and feel okay with being in that kind of position. And that's more the flexibility that it gives you when you have that kind of haul. Well,
that's why, you know, Belichick all these years would always just accumulate all these picks because he can take chances on guys and nail on some of them. The ones that you don't hear about, they just move on somewhere else. But he took so many chances because he always accumulated.
Yeah, 10, 11 picks.
Yeah, you know, now I see why that's such a good thing.
Well, you know, Jalen Smith in a mock draft, you talking about redshirting him. Somebody had suggested, I can't remember what it was, but it made a lot of sense that Cincinnati, who drafted Cedric Ogbuehi out of Texas A&M last year, the left tackle, who they knew he was hurt coming in, ended up not playing at all his rookie season. They kind of knew they're in a position where the roster is solid enough that they don't have too many glaring needs that you're saying, oh, we have to fill this right now. And for instance, like, they signed Carlos Dansby this offseason. Is he going to play as well over the course of a whole season as Vontaze Burfict? Maybe not. But for a month, can he give you some high-quality play? He's been doing it for a long time. So they don't have too many glaring needs, although they could definitely use a wide receiver. Right now, Brandon LaFell projected to start opposite A.J. Green. But that's the kind of team that you say, wow, they could afford to take that chance, sit on him for a year. Because, Dave, if you're rolling the dice not only on a pretty good player, a guy that Mike Mayock, for instance, said he thought was the best player, the best talent in this draft if he were healthy. And this kind of brings us back, and we'll pause and let you think about this during the break. Yesterday, Tony and I were asking Jag fans, and it was pretty split, right? Good arguments on both sides. The trade that went down yesterday, is it a net positive or negative for the Jags? You can look at it as certainly more defensive players are likely to be available, and they're more likely to get a guy that they really love and not miss out on at number 5. But the corollary is that a division rival is now stockpiled with ammo. Now, they could also misfire on that ammo, right? So there's a lot of different ways to look at it. So we'll get your thoughts on whether that's a net positive or negative for the Jags coming up as well. This date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL. We got more giveaways today, and a little bit later on, myself, Tony, and David will go around the room. Tyler as well. We'll predict the Jags game-by-game schedule, and we'll go win, loss, or kind of on the fence. And on the fence, that will help us accumulate the high-end potential and the low-end potential, best case and worst case scenarios? That's your question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Realistic best and worst case scenarios for the Jaguars' record in 2016. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at David Garrard 9, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and of course hop on the Jaguars Today Facebook page with those responses as well. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, time for this date in football history. By the way, happy April 15th. I think the tax deadline's extended to Monday. Am I right about that?
It is.
My wife handles all of my business. I appreciate you, honey.
Yeah,
love you,
gonna
honey.
It's going to be on Monday. It's also Jackie Robinson Day.
Today is.
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson
April 15th.
Is
yeah.
that just the celebration of his career? Is this his birthday?
This is the day that he broke the color barrier.
This is
baseball.
The day. Okay, well, that makes sense as well.
Premiered with the Dodgers today.
Oh, there you go. Jackie Robinson Day. Happy Jackie Robinson Day. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On April 15th, historically in 1965, the NFL changed the penalty flag color to bright gold. What was it prior to being the color it is right now?
White. I know this.
White.
Hey.
Yeah. Got it. I mean, come on. What's it gonna be?
It's green.
Throw out the green flag, everybody. Remember that?
Blend in the
Where
grass.
Where did it go? Where did it go? All right. Birthdays for this day. Remember Anthony Miller? Anthony Miller was a pretty damn good wide receiver in the late 80s and through the early 90s. Five-time Pro Bowler. Played at the University of Tennessee. 1965, he was born on this date, so he turns 51. Flippy Sparks, what is he best known for?
His daughter?
His daughter,
yes.
Right? I mean, Jordan Sparks. Flippy Sparks, a nice little career for himself.
He's a good player for the Giants.
I was a Giants fan,
good
so
player.
I watched him.
Defensive back, he turns 47 today, but Jordan Sparks, did she win Idol, or is she a runner-up on Idol?
I don't know. She's...
I think she won.
Is she the go-to sports national anthem singer? Really, she does seem to do a lot of them,
she should be, because
right?
She's really good at
she
it.
She is really good at it. She did one of the Super Bowls I attended. It might have been the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl.
I think it
after
was.
After the 2007 season. I think you're right. Jason Sehorn, another former Giant cornerback, turns 45 today. Jason Sehorn, can we all just put it on the table? Jason Sehorn, was he not lauded for being a white cornerback?
He was the best white quarterback.
He's the worst white quarterback in the National Football League. He was a handsome guy. He married Angie Harmon,
yes.
Right, from Law and Order
good
fame.
For him.
So, you know, he was very famous. He played in a big media market. Guy never made a Pro Bowl in his career. And then,
obviously, he had that playoff pick against the Eagles, the yes. rolling playoff pick where it bounced off his legs and he picked it up and returned it for a touchdown. That was amazing. I have the alternative jersey, Jason Sehorn, the red Giants jersey in my closet at home.
Keep it there.
31.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, it was okay. He was not a
he
bad
was okay.
player.
No,
he was good.
Yeah.
How did he get hurt? Was it like on a kickoff coverage or
it
something?
It was kickoff return.
Return, yeah.
Oh, so stupid.
In the preseason.
He was pretty good at it, though.
Antonio Cromartie. Born in this date in 1984. He has a lot of birthdays he celebrates every year, not only his own. Four-time Pro Bowler as well. Up to, as far as we know, 12 children right now. Currently sitting at 12 children, and let's hope he stays gainfully employed for a
long time. Go forth and multiply.
Right?
He took it literally. Just thinking about it.
He has done so with, I believe, the 12 children by at least 8 different women. But he claims, by the way, remember the infamous Hard Knocks scene where it appeared he was struggling to remember his kid's
yes.
name. He claims that the producers asked him to pause in between each name so as not to just have a string of names. You're seeing Good Will Hunting, right? When Matt Damon makes up the fact that he's like one of 12 brothers, right? He's like, Mickey, Timmy, Tommy, blah, blah, blah. Can you do it again? Mickey, Timmy, Tommy, does it. I don't know if it was that. Is this it right here?
Just turned 3 as of yesterday.
He just said my daughter as one of the names. As one of the names.
Yeah, so he turns 3 in December. We got another daughter that was born October 16th named London. Another daughter that was born named Leilani, who's 2 years old. And I have my newborn with my wife. Her name is Jersey.
That didn't sound too bad.
No,
it's not like he was really struggling.
I forget my kids' names all the time.
I mean, yeah, see that Jim Gaffigan commercial where he's like, this is my baby son, so-and-so. He's like, that's another one of my children in the back seat. I love that spot. I don't even know what it's for. And born on this date in 1985, happy 31st to now Super Bowl champion Andre Bubba Caldwell, the former Florida Gator wide receiver. This Dayton football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, conveniently located on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist, or if you need some cosmetic work done, whatever your dental concerns are, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of his comprehensive care services. That's this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Medical recheck day. Miles Jack, the linebacker, top five prospect in the upcoming draft, up there to get his knee looked at one last time before the draft here in a little bit less than 2 weeks now. He came out of it saying that everything went well. No teams had any real questions for him or about that knee.
They need to draft Miles Jack.
That, according to Pro Football Talk. According to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network on Twitter, however, some teams a little bit concerned about how long it took for that knee to recover. There are some teams that have still some questions about that knee, and other teams are very comfortable with it. So where the Jags fall in that line, nobody knows, and we may never know. And of course, he could be the number five pick as well to the Jaguars. The NFL schedule released last night. We've been going through some of the Jags' schedule a little bit already. Here are a few of the highlights. Outside of Jacksonville for the regular season, the season will open up on Thursday, September 8th, with a Super Bowl 50 rematch as the Carolina Panthers will be in Denver to watch the Broncos raise that championship banner. The opening Monday night doubleheader, Pittsburgh at Washington, Los Angeles at San Francisco. The Thanksgiving Day slate will start with Minnesota at Detroit, followed by Washington and Dallas, and capped off Thanksgiving night with Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. Week 16, this year's Christmas weekend, and with Christmas falling on a Sunday, most of the action for that week will be on Saturday, Christmas Eve, including the Jags playing host to Tennessee that week. On Christmas Day, two games, Baltimore at Pittsburgh and Denver at Kansas City. Percy Harvin told the Buffalo Bills yesterday he's retiring after dealing with another injury-plagued season last year with the Bills. Believe it or not, Percy only missed three games in his first 3 years in the league. In the following 4 years, Percy has never missed less than three. Yesterday, early, the reports indicated that the Los Angeles Rams were leaning towards Carson Wentz with that number one pick that they acquired. Now there are reports indicating that the Rams are leaning towards Jared Goff with the number one overall pick. So we'll let the seesaw 2 weeks begin. And Johnny Manziel has found himself in trouble again, this time regarding the home he rented while staying out in California. Johnny Football rented the home for 3 nights, and the list of damages the property owner is seeking gives an idea of the level of madness that Manziel is allowing to at least stick around him. He claimed that he only used the home for himself. According to the USA Today, the damages include extensive burn marks from cigarettes and marijuana at $8,500. Wine stains in the master bedroom at $8,500.
Yo, I'm cool.
A broken glass table for $2,400. A broken bathroom door for $650. The damages total up to $32,000 for Johnny Manziel. The police were called out one night because a party was getting out of hand.
Look, now, I've seen the pictures. Have you looked at the pictures?
I have.
Have you seen the pictures?
No.
All right, there's clearly like a large coffee table with what appears to be cocaine chopped up on it, just kind of left discarded because they're
I'll let the cleaning service.
They're so rich they don't need they don't need their extra cocaine. And there's apparently like a bag of magic mushrooms on the table, right? But honestly, in terms of the sheer carnage, I've seen dorm rooms three times as bad as this.
Yeah.
All right, it honestly didn't look that bad. I'm thinking $8,500. It's some frou-frou house. He might have burned like a little placemat or something like that, a little welcome mat. I don't know. What costs $8,500 in the carpet? How many people are just putting their cigarettes out on the floor? And I looked at the apartment, and a lot of it was not even carpeted in the photos that they showed. So I don't know. I'm not saying that Johnny Manziel is not out of control. I'm just saying I personally have destroyed dorm rooms much worse than Johnny Manziel did allegedly due to that house. But
I'm going to say he's slightly out of control.
He's probably out of control.
Probably more than slightly.
By the standards of a guy trying to play in the National Football League and get in the good graces of those big money decision makers, you're spot on, sir. In the standards of people I knew in my 20s and who were, and had a whole hell of a lot less money to burn than Johnny Manziel, he's pretty status quo.
I think he has an affluenza thing.
He may. As somebody pointed out, I think Hicks started calling him the affluenza QB a little ways back, by the way.
How much of a moron do you have to be if you're doing drugs to leave your drugs behind in a house you rented?
Well, that's just, what the cleaning service is for. Leave, I mean, come on.
He didn't leave him behind. He was supposed to check out. It was a rental property. He was supposed to check out at noon. He was passed out on the couch at 2. So he didn't leave him behind. Oh. He was still intending to take them with him when he got around to it, right? When we wake up, we'll just scoop all this up and sort it out later, I guess. I'm not sure. Here's a scenario for you on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Guys, what would you think if they took Laremy Tunsil, all right, because he's available to them at 5, and they traded Jokel and paired Jokel with their third-round pick to move up from their second round pick to get an edge rusher. In other words, give up their second and third and Luke Jokel. Again, I think it's too much. I don't know if there's any edge rusher. Now, maybe they love a guy like Noah Spencer. Maybe they love somebody else, Leonard Floyd or whomever, right? And the guy's sliding through the first round. You're like, well, we like him. Maybe they would strike. That's, to me, if you told me they could flip Jokel and get a third in that scenario and you use that pick to combine that, or so in essence, take Jokel and the second round pick to move up and acquire that. Okay, because now you've answered your left tackle position, because now you got Beecham and Tunsil under that scenario.
Well, you're talking about, in that scenario specifically, you're talking about giving away your second and third round pick. So essentially your draft, as far as guys that you're expecting to come in and be impact players, starters for you from the beginning of 2016, would then be Tunsil and whatever you trade back in to get. Because now you're talking about your next pick being in the fourth round of the NFL draft. The Jags are not in a position where they're a player away on defense from being ready to go. They're still a couple players away from feeling like you have a really good starting 11 on that side of the ball. I think they're okay. They're better than they were in 2015 on defense already. But they're not in a position where Leonard Floyd's the difference maker for this football team. They're not there. And the idea of basically letting a draft go by where you're essentially saying we are Leonard Floyd or whoever away doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, here's another one, Dave. Hi, Jaguars today. Hello. If we are around 500 this year and competitive in every game, I don't see why we would fire Gus Bradley. Is he a great coach? Maybe, maybe not. But who would replace him? Switching coaches could hurt more than help us, because they may change schemes offensively or defensively and look for different players, et cetera. That would be taking steps back when we have to continue to improve year over year. I used to say that record-wise, that's not the case. They went from 4 wins to 3 wins to 5 wins. That's up and down a little bit, but whatever. If you want to look at the overall tenor of the team and feel that, that's fine. He says, I'm sure David Garrard would say that consistency is key when trying to build a competitive football team year in, year out. What say you to that? How important is it to maintain, if you feel good about the direction things are heading, but the win total is still not where it needs to be, how much do you factor that in?
I would think that's spot on right there. I think 500 is the least amount of wins or losses that you can accept this year to be able to continue to move forward. I think just adding one more game to last year isn't enough. I think it has to be at least 500. And then, yes, you are competitive. Now, I don't see too many teams where, you know, a New England or like a team, maybe the Packers, could possibly make it a little bit ugly. But you should be in every game. Every game you should have a fighting chance, a last-minute drive, a drive to stop the other offense type of game. And then there should be some games that you win. Maybe not super convincingly, but you're up most of the game. They're trying to battle back in to try to beat you. I think it has to be that kind of season. It has to be the kind of season where we ride into, you know, the 10th, 12th week, and we're feeling really good about things. We are in the hunt. Our name is right there as a wild card, whatever it is. Now, maybe we don't finish down the stretch. We lose we win one out of the last three and just, you know, barely miss the playoffs. I think that would be okay. But I think if we're, you know, dragging in like we did last year, we have a scenario in front of us that's very favorable. A lot of quarterbacks are out, key players are out, but then we still don't win those ball games. I think that's just a really bad taste that's going to be left in fans' mouth. Everybody's mouth.
Yeah,
honestly.
Repeat of this past season, that scenario that you're talking about, not going to be tenable. But what in between that and, say, 10 wins is going to satisfy? Really, it's Beauty in the Eye of Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell. That's going to be the deciding process. And Tony and I have remarked on this several times, Dave, since Dave Caldwell said it at the end of the year, kind of in his year-end wrap-up, said, I'm not really holding the first 2 years against Gus Bradley, you know, record-wise. That's basically a two-year pass. So you're saying that, okay, we're starting from a five-win team that was on the brink of maybe being a seven-win team. Maybe what if we get to be in a seven-win team this year, eight-win team? See, whereas you say 500, a lot of people are saying winning record or bust. Winning record or playoffs or both. Or I mean, there are a lot of expectations for a big jump this year. And I hope they're right. I hope they take that. In fact, we'll go through game by game here coming up, and we'll make our predictions with some contingencies, high-end, low-end. What's your worst and best-case scenarios realistically as you see it for the Jaguars' record this year? That's the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. If you want to weigh in on that, tweet us at MD underscore 1010XL, at David Garrard 9, and at 1010XL Fat Tony. Also tell you what's cooking over at Retro Fitness when we come back here in a moment. So we'll break it all down on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor. We have a delicious and delightful giveaway we'll be doing coming up in about 15 minutes, so listen in for that. A couple of points of business we need to clear up before we go through the ever-excruciating game-by-game prediction segment on the day after the NFL schedule comes out. It's always, look, we don't hold ourselves to it. Heck, we don't even hold ourselves to what we predict. Like in August, so why are we going to do it here? But we're going to do it nonetheless. David, a couple of things that Tony and I got into this week that we didn't have a chance to discuss with you, and we at least alluded to the one. Tennessee's trade, they accumulate a bunch of picks, but what it does is it guarantees at least one quarterback, perhaps two, go in front of the Jags. Therefore, you feel positive that one of the top three defensive players, perhaps two of the top three defensive players, are available for you with the fifth pick. So overall, taking everything into account, is the trade that went down between the Titans and the Rams a net positive or a net negative for the Jaguars?
Well, I'm going to say overall it's probably a net negative. I think just the fact that we now are able to pick almost who we want at that number five spot, yet the Titans now get a whole bunch of picks that they get to pick throughout the draft. I think since we're kind of an even ball club with them, if you will, I think they get a little bit better just because they get so many more chances to take so many more shots at different guys. But then it still comes down, of course, to playing on the field. But if you talk about just the deal that happened, I would say probably a net negative.
I agree with you. Tony agrees with us. You have more swing and miss opportunities, and you're going to connect on some of them, you know. So odds are, you know, when you're picking, like, look, if the Jags hit on all their picks, great. Yeah. But the odds are you're not going to hit on all your picks. Tennessee likely won't hit on all those picks either, but they don't have to hit on as high a percentage to come out with more good players. All right. Then we also talked this week with Rasheen Mathis retiring, signing a one-day deal to retire as a Jaguar, that, you know, we discussed his place in the overall Jaguar history among defensive players. So I told you I was going to ask you this today. In your time with the Jags, who would you rank as the top three defensive players regardless of position on the Jaguars?
Well, for sure, Double D is going to be in my top three. Just being around him, seeing him play, playing with him, the guys, he couldn't pick the ball off very many times, but, man, he was an inspiration on the field to us. He was a great guy at practice, in the locker room, playing in ball games, and he was the hardest hitter I'd ever seen and been around. Tony Braxton, I mean, you can't get a guy that did so much, and I wasn't around him that long, but I could see the sheer drop off from when he stopped playing and the other guys that we would bring in. And then I'm torn between Rasheen and Darryl Smith. Just from my time being around, Rasheen was, you know, especially early on and even, you know, probably up to the last couple of years of him being with the Jags. I mean, he was that guy that you could always kind of count on to make a play, make a stop, do something big. I mean, you go back to our playoffs, picking off Roethlisberger a couple times, taking one back. I mean, he did that so often. but then started to gradually not make those same kind of plays. You know, had an issue with missing tackles, just things that, you know, change your perception towards the end. But then goes off to Detroit and kind of almost refuels his career and finishes up strong there. But then he was a great teammate, but he was an even better person to be around. I love being around Rasheen. He was a great guy. But Darryl Smith was just, he was just always Mr. Consistent. I mean, you talk about making tackles, defending the pass. He was that guy, that quarterback on defense that always got it done. So I guess I struggle a little bit between, you know, that third one, but it's definitely one of those guys.
Breaking news, Tony. Marcus Stroud, John Henderson will crack the top four for David Garrard. By the way, they're standing right behind you. Right, yeah, now.
Those guys, you know, it's tough because you're gonna miss some guys. You're not going to say some guys. And I think Big John and Stroud both were great, especially when they played together in those years. I don't know. It's
look, they're all, it's a tough position.
It is,
but.
And I guess I could throw Stroud in there. Big John was, you know, he didn't always get to the quarterback and all that kind of stuff. But man, it was tough to run the ball in front of him. It was tough to throw because he was always batting down passes. And I would get so mad at him in practice and say, would you just let me please complete these passes or at least get them past the line so that we give our receivers and DBs a chance to make some plays in, you know, out here at practice. But you're right. It is tough to leave guys out. So,
that's all right. Hey, you know what? That's why, it's a good problem to have when you've got six guys for three spots, right?
Yeah.
The Jags right now wish they had six guys that were of that caliber. Rasheen would be number one.
Okay.
I think Tony Bracken's probably number two. Number three is a lot tougher. You know, Henderson for me, possibly. But, you know, I thought Brian Sexton made a pretty compelling case for Marcus Stroud the other day in comparison to John Henderson. So those guys, very tough to separate, but I'd probably split between. Yeah. One of those guys would get my third spot.
They're almost like, you know, in the same spot.
Right, they're almost right. Yeah. They're kind of like three and three
A
or however you
Yeah,
look
they're a package.
It. So, all right, guys, you ready? Let's go around the table here. A little draft, schedule prediction time.
Hey!
All right, then obviously all these are subject to change. Nobody's saying they can't win any of these games we predict them to lose or they can't lose any of the ones that we predict them to win. But keep track of your own record. We'll go around. I'm going to say they're going to start with a loss to Green Bay.
Are we doing optimistic, pessimistic?
We're doing most realistic.
Doing realistic.
Realistic, as much as you possibly can.
Realistic loss against Green Bay.
Tyler Devitt.
That's an L for the Jags.
L for the Jags. David Garrard.
I'm going to have to go with an L.
An L. Psych. All right.
A little suspense there.
Tony Starr at San Diego, Tony.
House of Horrors. Loss.
Tyler.
I think we're going to pull off the road upset.
Road upset.
Chargers.
Loss. All right, I got him for a while. I like him at home against Green Bay better than I like him on the road against San Diego, and I think Green Bay is the better team. So I got him 0-2 as well. Tyler, Baltimore coming in.
W for the Jags, 2-1 start.
You better have him getting a W in week three right now, David.
Yep, Jags.
W for the Jags, Tony.
Win.
David, in London, Indianapolis, who you got?
I got the Jags.
I got the Jags as well. I got them 2-2 after an 0-2 start. Tony.
Win.
Win for the Jags, 3-1 start.
Oh, Tyler. Gus Bradley's going to the Hall of Fame.
This first quarter of the season, by the way, they may be playing the best four quarterbacks on their schedule with a bunch of young guys on defense that we don't know what Dante Fowler Jr. is even going to look like as far as the team trying to improve their pass rush. We don't know how that defensive line is going to gel together with Sendarek Marks coming back, Malik Jackson coming into the fold, a bunch of new guys in the secondary as well without Aaron Colvin. There are so many question marks for this football team, and they may face the best four quarterbacks on their schedule in the first 4 weeks of the season.
So you're optimistic, at least. All right, second quarter of the season, I have them going to Chicago and getting a W coming off the bye week. Tony.
Loss.
I also think they're going to win. The Bears aren't very good.
Okay. Tyler's got them at 4-1 so far. David?
I actually might be at this game because my buddy Zach Miller plays for the Bears, and I was hoping that they would be playing the Jags at some point in Chicago. But I'm still going with the Jags.
Going with the Jags. All right. Tony, Oakland.
Win.
coming in. Win for Oakland.
I'm going to take a loss for the Jags.
Loss for the
now.
Jags there, okay.
I got them winning.
I got them losing that one. And part of it was because it was in a stretch of five games where I had them winning all the other ones. And I thought, that I'm not going to pick them to go on a five-game winning streak after an 0-2 start. And I thought that was the best opponent in that stretch. So I have them with a loss in that one. Tyler, Tennessee coming to town.
Tennessee, we're going to Tennessee. That's correct, right?
Oh, that's right. It's at Tennessee.
To Tennessee. Right. At Tennessee. I think we might lose that game.
Lose that game. Okay.
I think
David Garrard.
I got him losing.
Starting to limp now for Tyler.
I got him beating the Titans, right? He got off to a hot start. We secured Gus Bradley's job for another season. Now he can coast. At Tennessee, I got a W, Tony.
Win.
And David Garrard at Kansas City, week 9.
Oh, I got the Chiefs in that one.
Game 8, I've got the Chiefs as well. Tony.
Loss.
Chiefs.
Chiefs, clean sweep. All right, second half of the schedule kicks off. This is my biggest toss-up game. The Houston Texans coming into town. Truly my most difficult coin flip of the season. I'm going to call this my one toss-up. I'll give him a half win. I'll give him a tie in this one. This one kind of sets my over-under for me. Tony, how do you like it?
I feel about the same way that you do, but I'll give him a win.
Give him a win, okay?
I'll take a win.
Take a win.
I'm giving them a win because it's at home. That's the reason why I'm giving them.
Right. I think, you know, people say, what do the Texans have that special? Well, what do they have that was all that special last year? They should be improved at the most important position on the football field. I'll give them a loss just for the sake of making a pick there. Tony, at Detroit.
Win.
Tyler.
I'll say a win as well.
David.
I have him winning, too.
Clean sweep. We're coming up and kicking some Matt Stafford ass out there in the Motor City. Let's go Tyler at Buffalo.
I'm going to say a win as well for the Jags.
Okay, David?
I got the Bills.
I got the Bills in this one, too.
They play really good at home for some reason.
Keep in mind, no Tyrod Taylor when they played last year against the
Jags.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're not going to get that E.J. Manuel.
They're a different animal at home. I just know that.
All right, I got them losing to Buffalo, Tony.
Loss.
David, Denver coming into town.
I got the Broncos. I still think they just have too many weapons.
I have the Broncos as well, but I could definitely see a scenario where the Broncos are struggling to find any consistency at quarterback.
Especially
all
if it's Sanchez.
Long.
If it's Sanchez, then I
it
mean
it could be Sanchez. Could be Case Keenum. I know. So I've got him with a loss as well, but I think that is more of a toss up than several other of these games. Tony, what do you got with Denver?
Loss,
and Tyler.
Loss.
Minnesota. Last quarter of the season, I got them losing to Minnesota. You know what? If I had them losing to Houston earlier. I'm going to have them beating Minnesota. I'm not a Teddy Bridgewater believer. I think they can beat Minnesota. I think Teddy Bridgewater is not going to exploit this pass rush or lack of it if it's the same as last year as much. So I'm going to go W versus Minnesota.
Win.
I think Adrian Peterson's going to rush for 200, and we're going to lose.
200 and a loss?
I'm with Tyler. I think AP all day. And their defense is pretty good, too. I don't see it. I think it's a loss.
Okay, and then Tony at Houston.
Loss.
Loss, Tyler.
Loss.
David?
Yeah, I got a loss here.
I got a loss as well. Tennessee, Tyler, at home.
I'm going to take a win for the Jags.
Take a win for the Jags.
8-7.
Win.
Win for me as well.
Win.
And then at Indianapolis, David, to close out the season.
I think it's all what depends what the season's like. Are they really playing for something? But right now, I got them losing.
I have them losing as well, and in part because I have them, I think, going 7-8 into that final week and probably out of playoff contention on the road. So I've got a loss there. Tony, what do you got with Indy?
Loss.
Loss. So, and Tyler?
I have them at 8-7 going into that game playing for a playoff berth. I think they win.
Playing for a playoff berth.
Whoa!
The Jaguars.
Nice. Later.
By the way, I'm putting you all on notice right now, and Dave, I'll include you in this. January 2nd is Monday. Typically, we're going to have, I think we would have that day off kind of in honor of New Year's Day observed. If the Jags are in the freaking playoffs, I'll see you Monday. Okay?
No doubt.
We're coming
not taking
in.
Monday off
oh,
on
no.
Jaguars today. The rest of the station, you're on your own, buddy. tally them up. What do you got here, Dave? What's the record?
I got 7 wins.
4, 5, 6. I got 7 wins as well with a couple really on the fence. Tony?
8-8.
8-8.
I went 9-7.
And you went 9-7.
Optimism.
I would say for me, the low end is probably 5 or 6, you know, with a chance to maybe win 10, if all things
yeah,
break right.
Yeah, I had it at 5.
5?
Yeah.
And your high end would be what?
9.
Tyler, your high end's got to be
I'm
at least
probably,
9.
Probably 10.
10, and 10, your low end would be what?
I would say 6.
6, David?
I think they can get maybe 2, maybe 3 more. So, yeah, high end would probably be about 10. But they got to be rolling. You got to feel it. It's not going to be we squeak by every game. It's going to be something where they're playing conventionally.
Yeah, the Jags only play 6 out of their 16 games are against playoff opponents. from last season.
Right. But, it, you know, there's some schedule quirks with, you know, you get the 5 out of 7 on the right. road, which is tough. I have them winning a stretch 4 out of 5 games, also having lose 4 out of 5 games. So, hey, we'll find out. None of what we say today will have any impact on the actual outcomes. But it's fun, nonetheless, to kind of kick it around. And we all see them. Most of us see them just a little below 500 this year. Tyler, a little more optimistic than the rest of us.
That first month scares me, man.
It does me
too,
but
there's a lot of things about that first month that scare me.
Win the opener, I think this my entire perception and you know projection of what they're going to be capable of doing changes entirely. Still not going to feel comfortable going to San Diego because of the track record, but boy, if you can beat Green Bay, you're going to expect to be 3-1 because you're going to say we can beat Green Bay. Indy's not that great of a team just because they have Andrew Luck back. He stunk last year. I don't think
and
it's going to be
notoriously slow starters with Andrew Luck anyway.
I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park to play him in London or anywhere else, but for the Jags. But they certainly are capable of beating them. And if they beat Green Bay, I'm going to expect a 3-1 first month of the season. I just right now I'm not picking that to happen. What are you picking? Best and worst case scenarios for the Jags? That was the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. So weigh in with your thoughts on that. Still have a few minutes on Twitter, Facebook, and on the text line driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, David Grard, Fat Tony, along with Tyler Devitt here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Probably don't start too many sports radio segments in 2016 with, remember that great Merv Griffin hit, I Have a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts, right? Does anyone remember that?
Oh, yeah, because... Because he's singing in Lion King. Scar sang it, right?
Oh, did Scar sing it in Lion King? I knew it from
something
when I was a kid,
that,
the Merv
yeah.
Griffin show, man. I got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Here they are all standing in a row. We don't have that, but we do have a lovely basket. A picnic basket. A lovely basket.
How
of Peterbrook chocolates.
Going old school with all of it.
Picnic basket. Yeah, it's, I mean, what could be better in your picnic basket
hey,
than a bunch of Peterbrook chocolates?
What are you getting at there, Yogi?
So we'll take caller 3. How about that? At 641-1010, we'll hook you up with a lovely basket of Peterbrook chocolates from Peterbrook Chocolatier. And should we determine right now, is Ryan O'Halloran eligible to call in and win this one?
I think so, because technically he's not an employee of the station, so I think we should include him.
He's like an independent contractor or something like that?
Yeah, so if I happen to pick up number 3 and it is the voice of the Ra, we can take his call.
Stop that. That's an absurd pseudo-nickname I've ever heard. All right. Today we ask you the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. What are your realistic, the key word, realistic, best and worst case scenarios for the Jaguars record? So, Tony, I would please admonish you and impeach you and implore you and all these things. I'm saying words that might not even be accurate to skip all the 0-16 and 16-0 predictions, if you would be so kind, and give us your realistic feedback you got on Twitter.
Here's what we got from Irish Jag: best case 11-5, worst case 6-10. From Colby: worst case 5-11, best case 10-6. From Eric: worst case is off to an 0-4 start with blowout losses in each of those and a restless fan base. Best is 9-7 and win the division. That's quite a difference. From Frank: 4-12 with D never gelling and Blake getting battered. 10-6 if Blake grows and defense is good. From Black Dog: beat Green Bay like we beat the Colts, and we'll ride that pony to an 11-5 season. Game 1 loss and be lucky to go 7-9. From Duval Doom: realistic best case, 10-6. Worst case, 5-11. What I think will happen, 9-7 with no playoffs. From the lovely Lauren Brooks: 11-5 is the best case, 5-11 as the worst case. From
ILB.
Josh, home 5-3 with wins against the losses against Green Bay, Oakland, and Houston. Away 4-4, San Diego, Kansas City, Houston, Indianapolis. Overall 9-7, division 3-3, wild card. From Daniel: best case is 9-7, worst case 2-14. I realistically see 7-8 wins.
All right, I've got some here on Facebook that I'm sure you'll be intrigued by. Garrett said best case 10-6, lose to all 4 playoff teams from last year and 2 division games. Worst case, 5-11 because they won't be able to finish games this year as the appearance of a much harder schedule than last year. That's from Garrett. Royce said best case 6-10. Best case.
Oh my god.
Best case 6-10 as Blake cuts his pick sixes in half. worst case 4-12. So he's got a narrow band here.
Real narrow.
He's got a really dialed in. Luke Joeckel is still at left tackle, and we still have two of the slowest linebackers in the league starting, and he adds, go Jags. So, hey, look, I mean, he's just trying to be realistic. That's what we asked for, Royce. We're not picking on you. We appreciate the feedback. Cameron said, best case, we're a surprise team, go 10-6. Worst case, we still get better, but Gus loses his job by completing a 6-10 record. How about this one? Derek Stewart, best case, Jags win the division at 9-7, and Gus keeps his job. Worst case scenario, Jags miss the wild card by going 9-7, and Gus is fired. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Mike. Mike.
Mike.
Terrence.
Mike.
Terrence.
Mike.
Terrence.
Why not get Roberto Aguayo with the 5th pick?
Is that edited? Did he say Robert Aguayo?
We had to help out our guy Terrence.
You edited him.
I had
How
to.
How dare you? History will not look kindly on you, Tyler Devitt. So there you have it.
Mike.
Terrence, we love you. Where you been? Where you been? We should have Terrence in, by the way. Should Terrence be our next celebrity guest host?
Why not? I mean, we talked to him out of training camp
Terrence,
this year.
Terrence, give us a shout, man. Let's get you in studio for a spell.
People. I heard Terrence had a big old floppy hat, kind of like a sombrero.
Oh, my man had very stylish sombrero last year out there. He was quite a hit. People were coming up. He might have been signing a few autographs out there, Dave. He's semi-famous. It's the Terrence. All right, Dave, as we always like to do, we like to tell folks about the great opportunities they've got going on at Retro Fitness right now. There are key times you don't want to walk in on a workout, as you were describing that to us in graphic detail on the break. But just tell us about Retro Rage, which is getting ready to launch, I think, May 6th?
May 7th.
May 7th, yes. Okay.
Retro Rage is, we're actually going through the preliminary trial classes right now. We've got some footages up on Facebook and Instagram, that kind of stuff. So if you want to try to follow me, it's DDG0214 on Instagram. So
okay.
You can find me that way. But it's awesome. You can also go to Retro Fitness Jacks to check us out too and get more information on it. Come into one of the locations. You can come into Harbor Village, just next to Queens Harbor. In the Fresh Market Shopping Center. We have another location, Bay Meadows and Southside. Now, our Bay Meadows and Southside location does not have the Rage. It's only at our Harbor Village location.
Okay, at San Pablo. But
yes.
You go to RetroRageJacks.com to find out more about it. And it's, tell me if I'm describing it properly, high intensity, a lot of variety, never going to be boring,
Absolutely. Of
group atmosphere.
It is. It's been so much fun. We have a huge speaker out there that's just jamming music. We have a coach out there that's putting everybody through the different drills. I'm trying to make it more team oriented. So when we're out there and when we finish our workout, we all huddle up and do a breakdown.
Nice.
We do Rage on three. It's a great switch up to just being in the gym, lifting weights and being on the treadmill, that kind of stuff, which is great. I like being outside. I like being more mobile. I like being able to have room, kind of like how I was, pretty much trained. As a football player, we were always out. We did have to lift weights, but I always enjoyed going onto the field a little bit more than just being in a weight room. But we still have all the amenities. Not a lot of CrossFit places, not a lot of gyms have also child sitting, a smoothie bar there. Our cardio theater, I was telling you guys, we had Stand By Me?
Yeah, Stand By Me.
Stand By Me on the cardio theater yesterday, and it was great to see that old school movie like that. And just all the different amenities and all the great equipment. It's a great place to be. Just come check us out, Retro
right.
Rage.
Overall, Retro Fitness Jacks, if you just want to find out more about Retro Fitness as a whole, but specifically RetroRageJacks.com is a good way to do it if you want to get in and check out what's getting ready to launch on May 7th at San Pablo locale and going strong. And getting better every time we talk about it. Retro Fitness right here in Jacksonville. Thanks to David Garrard for popping in today. Tony, what are your plans this weekend? What do you got cooking?
Guns N' Hoses tomorrow night.
Nice. Are you involved in Guns N' Hoses or just...
Are you competing?
No.
I didn't mean that, Dave. Tony's tough, though. He's wiry. He'd surprise
he's
you.
Wiry.
He's
not a guns or a hose, so he can't compete.
No.
Do you have a rooting interest in who you're pulling for?
I'm going with a cop. That happens to be my roommate.
I'd say that's probably...
My brother is a firefighter, so I do not know.
Firefighters can save your life.
they can't lock you away, though.
That is true.
So, I mean,
who's going to pull you over and possibly let you out, or?
I voted for the police at Guns N' Hoses. See that button right there?
All right, so Guns N' Hoses should be fun. Check me out on Sirius tomorrow night, Sirius 210 XM 87, as we get closer to the draft, talking football from a fantasy perspective from 7 to 9. And that'll do it for us. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, 287-7756. If you have roofing concerns, that's the number you need to know. License number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Dave, great stuff. I'll look forward to it next week.
I'll be out there King and the Bear tomorrow.
Are you?
Swinging the golf club. With,
are you just playing? Or?
With Blake.
Oh, you're playing at the tournament. Yeah. What are you expecting to shoot, King and
a
Bear?
Oh, goodness, no. I just hope to use a few of my shots in my group. You know,
Is it a pure scramble?
I hope so. If it's not, man, it's going to be a long day.
You're in trouble.
It's going to be a long day.
All right, my man. Hit him long, and if you don't hit him straight, at least hit him long.
There you go.
That's what we like to do. All right, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, Fat Tony, David Garrard, I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off for Jaguars Today. XL Primetime, straight ahead on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
You guys have a good day. Peace.